Hello, my name is Dewey Pascal. It's January 26th today, 1988, and I have with me Mr. Erling Lindy. And Erling, you've been an acquaintance of mine for many years. You and I have both been in the same business in music education for perhaps more years than we care to admit. But I'm pleased to have you here today, and we'd like to begin our interview today by just asking a little bit about you biographically, where you were born and where you went to school and so on and so forth. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I'll do that, Dewey. My home is at Cyrus, Minnesota. I was born there in 1923, which is getting to be a long time ago, and went to public school there. I graduated from high school in 1941, and shortly after that, World War I broke out, and I was in the service for 6 years in the Navy. And when I was discharged from the Navy, I came to Concordia College and graduated in 1951. And I went to Cincinnati Conservatory for a master's degree, finishing there in 1952.
And then?
And from there, I taught 1 year at Starbuck, Minnesota, and 2 years at Candu. And in 1955, I came to Morehead, and I taught here for 30 years and retired just in 1985.
That brings us up to almost current,
yeah,
doesn't it? Okay, well, you've had a very busy career. Now, you've not mentioned, of course, what activity you've been involved with, and music education, I know, has been the main forte. Did you, when you left Concordia, did you go directly then to graduate school, or did you?
Yes, I graduated in the spring of 51, and I went to Cincinnati in the fall of that year. And I spent a year and a summer at Cincinnati for my master's at that time.
Now, while you were in the Navy, Erling, as I recall, you had some musical experiences.
Yes, I was a Navy musician. And when I joined the Navy, I went to the Navy School of Music in Washington, D.C. And when I completed the course there, I was put in a band that went to the South America or South Atlantic Fleet. And we were in the Admiral's band, and wherever the Admiral went, we'd go.
Sounds like pretty tough duty.
Yes, it was. Looking for banana trees up the Amazon, you know.
Did you ever find any?
No, I didn't.
So how long did the Navy School of Music, what kind of a long course of study was
it? The course should have been about a year and a half, and they were suppressed for musicians at that time. I spent it was about a half a year there.
Oh, is that right?
And being I played flute and piccolo, there's a shortage of that, too. So
you were really
I was
demanded.
Assigned very early.
Yeah. Did your length of, how long were you in the Navy?
I was a 6 year hitch.
Oh,
at that time, when you joined the Navy, you had to join for 6. And then shortly after that, it was just for the duration of the war. So I got out in 1947, so I had a good government job there for about 6 years.
Boy.
Yeah.
Were all of the 6 years involved in music? Or
yes, yeah.
You didn't have any, did you have basic training or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I think it was six weeks or so.
But then right from that point you had.
And from, I spent 3 years in the South American theater. And I came back to the school again in Washington and reassigned to another band that went to a naval air station in Ottumwa, Iowa. And I spent 2 years there or so, and then I was transferred to Memphis, Tennessee, to an air station there, and discharged shortly after that.
Mm-hmm. What were the quality of the bands like in the service and in your experience here?
Well, this wasn't the president's band, for instance. It was a service band. The South American band was of pretty good quality. We had 60 musicians there.
Hmm.
There were 3 dance bands within that group again, and they were playing all over, entertaining up and down the coast of South America, Brazil especially.
So
we would go from from Recife, Brazil, way down to Buenos Aires. That was our territory. And, of course, we'd go with the Admiral. and we play for all his occasions. He'd be entertaining presidents and senators and governors, and I played for Roosevelt, for instance, when he came back from
you
Yalta.
Did, you got to see him then,
yeah,
obviously, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That must have been quite an experience. Yeah. Well, let's leave our military duties here for a little bit,
right.
Erling, and go on to something else. In the Fargo Moorhead area, you are known as flutist extraordinaire, I think, and have been for many, many years. How did you get started on that instrument? I mean, when anyone ever thinks of Erling Lindy, they automatically think of you as the flutist.
Well, and, you're very kind.
You know, you have earned the privilege or the title well, I'm sure. But do you want to tell us a little bit how... was this your only beginning instrument, or did you switch from something else, or did you have other interests?
My father is a medical doctor, but his avocation was music. He played the violin. And when I was a young boy, he tried to give me violin lessons. It didn't work out so well. So when I was 9 years old at Christmas time, I think I found a flute underneath the Christmas tree. And I wasn't very enthused about that. You know, I wanted probably something else. And
like a BB gun or something?
Yeah. So that's how it all started. And I think mainly he wanted somebody to, you know, play duets with him or something. And in our school at Sires, we had a band of somewhat, but it wasn't the best. And I studied on the summers mostly with... a flutist that lived in Morris at that time. His name is Herman Abel, and he was a graduate of the Hanover Conservatory in Germany. And so I had a pretty good start at the instrument, but then I didn't have any more formal training until I got to the Navy School, for instance, and then in college.
So you had the benefit of a good teacher then, right?
Yeah, early at the beginning, yes. Uh-huh.
That's important. Okay, then you proceeded to work on flute all through your school years.
Yes.
When you came to Concordia, who was instructing flute at that time?
I have Duke Holvik, his name.
Oh, surely.
Johann Holvik. They all call him Duke.
Yeah, and he was a band director as well,
yeah,
wasn't he?
I had him for 2 years, and then Leif Christensen for 2 years.
Oh, was Leif there when you were?
Yes, uh-huh. Oh. Tuvit for the Holvik and Christensen.
Oh, so you had the benefit of two different.
That was your band director in high school, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Leif Christensen.
Excellent, fine old gentleman. So then when you went to the conservatory in Cincinnati, you continued emphasis
yes.
with flute. And who did you study?
My teacher at Cincinnati, his name is Alfred Finbach. He's principal flutist of the Cincinnati Symphony at the time.
Uh-huh.
And
did he work you hard?
Oh, yes. I wish I would have worked harder. And while I was in school at Concordia, I'd travel to Minneapolis at times, too, and go and studied with a man by the name of Anton Winkler. He was a second flutist with the Minneapolis Symphony at that time.
I see.
But that is kind of summer times, mostly. And
mm-hmm. Now, flute has always been, obviously, a major thing in your life, and music in general. Did you branch out at all in any other musical things, like composition or arranging or any other instruments?
Not really. I played the saxophone, clarinet, some in the service band.
You doubled
band.
On those, yeah. Uh-huh. How about, were your parents musical, Erling? Were your father or mother, did they...
Yeah, my father, as I said,
he
loved to play the violin, and he's always organizing some group to play, you know, for church or whatever. And he'd have some students even for violin. And my mother was a pianist. She did all right.
Yeah. So you had that benefit of a family background that was interested in actually participants in.
My sister played piano and violin.
Does she still play, or has she played in recent years?
She plays piano and sings some.
Uh-huh.
I had a brother. He played piano and tuba, but not Not very much. He distant school, but...
No. Well, it's, as a music educator, it's always interesting to see what carryover there is in the family from, you know, from parents mm-hmm. to their children insofar as how successful the kids are in following those pursuits. Well, let's move on, Erling. After you got out of the Navy, then you went to graduate school. No, you went to Concordia and then graduate yep. school, didn't you? Then you started your teaching career. And yes. where was your first...
That is at Starbuck, Minnesota. And I was there just 1 year. And then I moved to Candor, North Dakota, and I taught there 2 years. And from there, as I said, I went to Moorhead.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you've been here ever since for 30 years, mm-hmm. you said, until your retirement in 85. During your years here in Moorhead, I know, and I think prior to that, even when you were in school at Concordia, you were a very active member of the FM Symphony, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Did you... have to fight for that principal chair, Erling, or was it handed you?
No. As I remember, I was a student the first year that I played first flute to the orchestra, and I auditioned with Sig Thompson. He was a conductor at that time.
Right.
And I believe there are two or three other candidates for that position.
And this was during your college days?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And... I got the chair, and then, of course, I played with him 2 years. Then I went off to graduate school and teaching, mm-hmm. so I didn't come back here until 1955 again to play.
Okay, but then upon your return, were you just automatically accepted into the group?
Yeah,
Marley?
Yeah.
You were?
Mr. Thompson told me, he says, any time you want to play, you're in, he said.
Uh-huh.
So
they had.
I guess I had one audition, and I kept it all the time. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then interspersed by some years of Navy service, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you must have created some kind of an indelible impression on him to have you come back without any mm-hmm. audition. Sig Thompson was conductor of the group at that time, and what memories do you have of Sig? I know you had him as a teacher as well as as a symphony conductor, but...
He was a pleasant old gentleman, as I remember him. He is thankful that he's around here because he gave us an opportunity to play and expose to good literature. I played quite a bit of chamber music due to his direction. You know, he'd mm-hmm. engage certain groups to play in concerts and other chamber works. And... for a symphony in a town the size and the quality, it is well that he introduced a lot of contemporary music, and of course he played the standard literature too. But if it wasn't for him, I would have never gotten acquainted with all the things I've played.
He did program, you know, probably above the orchestra's head a lot of the time.
Sometimes, yeah.
But not without purpose, and yeah, that's right. I have some memories of that. Same thing, of course, when I was going to school. But he brought some real expertise, I think, insofar as literature is concerned to the community. Do you feel that the orchestra was a real gift to the community? I mean, what does it take to make a symphony function in a community like this? You've been a part of that organization for many, many years. Were you active at all in the support group of you know, the organization of it at all?
I served 2 terms on the board as a member from the orchestra,
mm-hmm.
and that involved mostly fundraising, I'd say. They'd want some artistic input also, but it's mostly fundraising. Mm-hmm. I thought
that's always a big headache,
yeah.
of course,
and you have to have money to operate.
When you first played back in your college days in the symphony, was there any salaries at all for the orchestra?
Yes, I received $2 rehearsal and I think $3 for a concert.
Wow.
So for 5 services and a concert, I got about $12, I believe.
Well, for a struggling college student, maybe that wasn't all bad.
Well, the things were cheaper in those days.
This was back in, what, 50?
In the 50, late 40s
late
and 40. Early 50s, yeah.
Okay. Then as you came, after you came back from having been in the service, or in graduate school and so on, and having taught, then you came back, and was the salary increased considerably?
Or? Oh, yeah. Through the years, it wasn't the best of salary, but it, I think when I ended up playing in 19, whatever it was, 82 or 83, for the same five services in a concert, I'd probably get $100, you know. So that isn't much improvement, but it's better, you know.
Well, that's that's pretty good improvement, yeah. Percentage-wise. Can you think of, Erling, anyone else? Now, you mentioned Sigvald. Were there any other big influences in your life, you know, members of the FM community that played an important role in, you know, in most any aspect of your life, whether it's music or what other? Are there any other?
Well, musically, the two Christensens, Leif Christensen and Paul J. Christensen. I suppose involved in music more than the other circle.
As a struggling musician, and of course you were a teacher too, and teaching, of course, was your main avocation. But what were you terribly frustrated by not having enough opportunity to play, or did you feel there was enough?
At times, there was too much playing, I thought. And then when you're teaching school, you don't have the time that you have for wanting to do something else like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was busy all the time, especially when we first moved to Moorhead. Children are young, and I was never home. They say, who's that man going out the door? Who's coming home, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I enjoyed it at the time, but I couldn't do that now, I don't think.
Even with the kids gone, not really. You've got more time.
Yeah.
No. How about the community itself? Do you feel that Fargo-Moorhead has been a community that has concerned itself or has a greater concern for the arts than the average community? Are there forces at work here that you feel have caused the arts to flourish perhaps more than many communities?
Yeah. I think I'm very fortunate, or anyone living in the Fargo-Moorhead area, because if you wanted to go to some cultural event, you could go just about every night of the week during the school year, I feel, and even the summertime too. Like, we have the Corsair Orchestra here, and we have the opera, and we have the choruses and the choirs in the schools, and also the bands and orchestras in the colleges. They have good theater, the Straw Hat Players, for instance, and Concordia Theater, and the Herb's Theater, and also out at SU. And you're about 10 minutes from any kind of artistic thing you want to go to here in Moorhead.
Over the years, Erling, can you think of any particular technological changes that have occurred? Well, in, for example, in the symphony, has there been many changes in the utilization of equipment or of approaches at all to?
I think the biggest thing would be the the quality of player in the orchestra.
Gone downhill, huh?
No, it's gone up. I hope.
I was going to say, since you left.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember when I was first in the orchestra, for instance, the string section, I don't want to knock them, but compare them then to what is now. It's like
quite
night and day.
And
the wind section, too, I think is...
Well, it took a real jump up when I retired.
Yeah.
It.
Oh, no.
In your opinion, Erling, you kind of touched on this, but what does the future hold for the arts within the community? Do you think we're going to stay status quo, or are we going to make great strides, or what does it look for in your opinion?
Well, I think they'll hold their own and probably get better as time goes on. It takes money and talent and personnel.
Mm-hmm. What about the preparation that schools are doing in the way of the arts? Do you think that the schools are turning out consumers of art just as much now, or if not more, than before? Or do you feel that that maybe has gone downhill? Or
well, being as an education, mostly in the grade school and elementary or junior high, the high school musician, I don't think they lose interest after a while. I think they get burned out. They're excellent musicians coming out, and I don't think they pursue it. They want to go into other endeavors, which is too bad. I think if they have it for their own pleasure and keep on that way, that's fine.
Is there a danger, do you think, Erling, that the schools are not successfully pointing out the importance of no, I'm not doing a good job of this at all. What I'm trying to ask you is, do you feel that the schools are not successfully instilling in the minds of young student musicians the importance of the continuance of art and art music you know, that they're in it for more utilitarian needs than for for art for art's sake?
Well, I think like people like you and I, Dewey, our age group, we can see where they've continued on or not continued on. But we have to look in the future, or I don't know if we're around here, to see what success we've had in directing the student to continuing in the arts. I think, I don't know. It's a difficult question to answer.
Yeah, it is. Well, now you're retired and taught instrumental music bands principally through the public schools all these years. Let's talk just a little bit about your teaching experience. You have a daughter, I know, that is involved in public school music, teaching strings down in Iowa City, in the public school system. Your two boys are not directly involved with music, but as a sideline, they are involved. Would you, if you had it to do over again, urge them, any of them, either of them, to enter into teaching of music?
I think...
Or education in general?
I kind of directed them, and they didn't accept it, except one, I guess. They have to kind of plot their own course, I think, to know what their avocation is going to be. Although my two sons, they're still involved in music, but not professionally or teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is. She's teaching and playing in some orchestras. And
okay, Erling. Well, I don't know if there's anything else that we should be covering, but I would like to ask you, is there any particular experience or idea that you would like to bring out before we close this interview? Is there anything that stands out in your life in regard to the community here in Moorhead or in your job in school? You're still playing?
Somewhat, yes.
You haven't retired from that totally, no. I hope. Are there any other experiences that you recall that might be interesting at this point?
Well, I could thank the community of Moorhead for all the opportunities have afforded me, you know, culturally and livelihood and a good community to live in. It's a wonderful place to be. There's a low crime rate, good weather, no mosquitoes in the winter, for instance.
Excellent county government. Yeah.
Yes, that's true also. No, we I can't complain anything about our community, and it's been very rich for me.
Well, I think the community is a lot richer for you having been here, Erling, and all your work with those kids in school, as well as the innumerable numbers of performances on your instrument that the community has enjoyed and is the richer for, and thank you for it. And so with that, unless you have anything else, we'll conclude.
No, that's all I have for you
today. Thank you very much, Erling.
Thank you.